Welcome to episode 15 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to help you deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs, and I'm an evolutionary astrologer, psychic medium, and channel currently living in Tucson, Arizona, USA, Earth. And you can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. There's a wide variety of wonderful things waiting there for you. I do have a bunch of articles there, as well as two original natal reports, True Black Moon Lilith Natal Report, and something called the Living in the Present Tense Natal Report. And that's it's all about emotional healing relative to the energetic changes taking place now that culminate in 2012. So those are awesome. A lot of great feedback about those, happy customers, opening doors into self-understanding so people can make changes for the better. And then also I have three books for sale at my site, Living Myth, Exploring Archetypal Journeys, and Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes, A Memoir of Intuitive Awakening. And the third one is The Soul's Journey 1, Astrology, Reincarnation, and Karma with a Medium and Channel. So I have two charts for you today in episode 15. The first one is the first question is from Jan. I'm going to give you her birth data. June 26th, 1962, 2:35 a.m. in London, England, in the UK. So Jan's question is brief and not at all simple. So question is, how is it that I can crave a passionate relationship but remain so fearful of intimacy that I will go to any lengths to avoid one? Three things to tell Jan about today. And by the way, I encourage you to, if you're listening to this podcast and not in the habit of drawing up the charts, I encourage you to do so. That's why I give you the data. So, my primary motivation for doing this podcast is to teach people how to look into charts in the way that I do, simply because it unlocks so many doors into understanding so that, here we go again, you can make changes for the better. So I encourage you to backtrack and get those data and make the chart if you haven't done so already. So, okay, Jan, there are three major things to tell you. The first thing is you have Saturn on the South Node in the 10th house, and this is opposing Venus in Leo in the 4th house on the North Node. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, if we look at the sign on the cusp of your 7th, it's Scorpio, and if I look at the ruler... if I look at the rulers, Pluto, it's in the 5th house. So here we go. This is about passion. And if I look at the ruler as Mars, it's in the 12th house with Pallas. Pluto in the 5th is a soul level wounding about passion and creativity and self-expression. Mars in Taurus in the 12th with Pallas, it might be trying to hide a little bit of what that Mars is up to. With Pallas, trying to shelve something, and in the 12th house, it's not working in the regular way that Mars usually works because it's in this house of connecting with greater reality. And then the third thing, and I'll walk through each of these, but the third thing is, Pluto in the 5th. If I don't look at it as the ruler of the 7th, I just look at it by itself. Pluto in the 5th, your soul's wounding having to do with 5th house stuff. With the first thing, let me just put this note in there. The podcast is titled Unraveling Karma, and karma is our beliefs that are wrapped up with our emotions, right? The beliefs about why things have happened to us the way they have. So when I look at, for example, this Venus on the North Node, it says that in your various lives, in your soul's various lives, you have not gotten to Venus. You've not gotten to do Venus in Leo. And you have been saturated, an environment saturated with Saturn in Aquarius, in the 10th, and you haven't gotten to do Venus in Leo in the 4th. So you're filled with Saturn, and you're not filled with Venus. Whenever this happens, having a body on the North Node, we can have one of two major reactions. One is, I'm going to have it at all costs. because I have been denied this energy for some reason. And the other way of experiencing this is believing that we don't deserve to have it. It sounds like you're kind of in the middle. It sounds like you're in the middle between that, where part of you knows that it's an important thing to have, and yet you're terrified to have it. So in this context, I have to ask you this question, with Venus on the north node opposing Saturn on the south node, what is it that you believe, karma? What is it that you believe that you have to give up in order to have passion? In some lives, in many of your lives, actually, of your soul's lives, you are confronted with that question. What is it that I have to give up? We could look at the symbol of opposing Saturn in the 10th. You would have to, perhaps you believe you have to give up respectability or position, or the ability to execute on your ambition, to build a place for yourself in the world. The next thing, if we, looking at looking, I'm going to use Mars as the ruler of your seventh, and I'm looking at it in Taurus in the 12th with Pallas. Again, with Pallas, I think you have the Living Myth book, if I'm not mistaken. But so if you've read about Pallas and this idea of how we try to shelve something about ourselves, we try to put off a part of ourselves in order to remain successful in whatever we're doing. Mars with Pallas would mean part of you is trying to keep Mars under wraps because you are afraid it will make you less successful. So, and this rules your house of relationship, your house of the other. Just for context, your ascendant's 25 Taurus, and this Pallas is at 23, and Mars is at 20. Whenever bodies are in the 12th, just having risen, they exert a tremendous amount of influence on us. And so for you to make friends with Pallas is extremely important. And that will shift how you experience Mars, which will in turn shift how you interact with that Scorpio on the descendant. Just a note for you. But then going to the Pluto is probably the centerpiece of a lot of this. Again, what is it that you have to give up in order to have the kind of passionate relationship that you want? Whenever we are on this soul's journey, when we're incarnated as a person, and we say, I'm going to learn how to be strong via my Pluto placement, we always encounter people who seem more powerful. This was touched on in the last podcast. It's explored in depth in the Soul's Journey 1 book. And this idea of what is it that I have to do to be strong and empowered. For you, karmically, you're fighting that issue. You're trying to figure out what it is that you have to give up in order to have passion. Well, the truth is that you don't have to give anything up, except the meaning that you have attached to why you can't have it, why it comes and goes, this kind of business. All the meaning that you might have attached to, what it means to have it, what it means not to have it. You also have true black moon Lilith in the fifth house in Virgo, and it's conjunct Lucifer. And I know we've discussed that before in another context, where true black moon Lilith in the fifth needs to flow with that creative energy and that sexual energy, and then Lucifer there will add the voice of doubt to it. So you also have that in there. So again, Lilith in the fifth, what is it that you might perceive you have to give up in order to have passion? Because Lilith, when we live the Lilith stories, lots of times we negotiate the terrain of being controlled by others or asserting ourselves and leaving in order to remain whole and autonomous. So, this entire analysis for you comes back to that question. What do you believe you have to give up in order to have what you want? And as you meditate on that, as you spend time on that question, you will radically change what's going on because you're afraid of becoming powerless. And that doesn't have to be that way. That is simply the way it's gone karmically for you. So thank you for sending that question in. Meditate on the questions that I ask in, I basically traded you some questions after looking at your chart. So thanks again for writing. And the next question comes from Robin, and her birth data are July 30th, 1974, at 9:45 p.m. in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. It's an international program for you today. So Robin's question, she mentions that at various times in her life she's felt aimless, though not pointless. You know, she's interested in what her path is, but perhaps wandering has felt like her path. And now she says that she does know what it is. It's definitely related to yoga, and she's either a yoga teacher or in training to do that. And so her question is, what's up with her soul regarding the nodes, and that she feels psychic but doesn't know quite how to deal with it? So each of these questions and comments are addressable by looking at what is square the nodes from the first house in Pisces. So we'll start with the nodal structure. South node Gemini in the fourth house. South node in Gemini is going to be, this speaks to a person who's been trained in many lives, been conditioned in family environments, and to see the world through the lens of Gemini. You know, Gemini is always looking for the next thing. Gemini is not the sign of the wanderer, but Gemini is the sign of the collector, and the student and the perpetual student of collecting data, collecting information, collecting new bits of news. And so there is kind of a scattered element to Gemini. So you've been colored to do that. Now, the great benefit of being colored by Gemini is that you can explore the world around you. You can figure out how to ask the questions you want to ask. You have access to lots of different sources of information. And the downside is that it can feel like nothing's true, because there's just this constant in-stream or streaming in of data, all of which might be true. It can get a little, you know, wearing us out a little bit after a while. So that's what the South Node is. Square the nodes, you have retrograde Ceres, retrograde Jupiter, retrograde Juno, conjunct between 14 and 18 Pisces in the first house. So all the questions that you asked and all the comments that you offered have to do with that. Because squares of the nodes represent unresolved issues. So you are trained in certain ways in all of your lives, right? All of your soul's lives, which I treat as happening simultaneously. You are trained to do certain things with these energies that actually don't get you where you want to go. So you are, in all these different lives, using basically chops, right? Using your skills and your abilities and your understanding of these energies, and it's not getting you where you want to go. And you're saying, I keep doing X the same way. Why is it not getting me anywhere? Because you have to learn how to make new choices. That's the whole entire deal with squares to the nodes. So it's your job to assess in realistic terms how you live these three energies. The energy of Ceres. Oh, and then learn to make new choices. Choose to make different choices than you have been taught and than you have figured out on your own thus far. Ceres is about nurturing. Jupiter is about faith and expansion and risk and hope. And Juno is about commitment. So just taking those together through the lens of Pisces, do you have enough faith in yourself to commit to caring for yourself in ways that get you, like, that further your goals and that create a sense of hopefulness for yourself? You know, you have the faith in yourself to care for yourself in appropriate ways. Now, each of these is retrograde. They have to work differently. These energies must work differently. So for you, what it looks like to care for yourself, what it looks like to have hope, what is worth believing in, you cannot rely on other people's ideas. Whether they're telling you directly, this is what's worth believing in, or you're simply observing them in what they believe, etc., none of it's going to work for you. You have to figure it out. So the default model on that is one of two things: adopting someone else's idea and feeling unsatisfied, or wandering because you don't know how to pick your own. You don't know how to create your own. Pisces is the sign of the wanderer, because Pisces is where we connect to the greater whole around us. And so when we do Pisces in healthy ways, it doesn't matter where we are or what we're doing. We are simply, we're a part of life, we're experiencing the flow of life. But because these are square of the nodes, you need to learn to make new choices. So, you know, the archetype of the wanderer, Jupiter and Pisces in the first, maybe it'll get you some places. Maybe in some lives it's a valuable skill, but to get to your 10th house, Sagittarius North Node, you need to pick what you think is the most true and go with that. Now, that's a Sagittarius North Node. You know, contrasted with the Gemini South Node is keeping open for data that will come in that could possibly change everything. With a downside of relativism. Jupiter ruled North Node. Sagittarius North Node says, I need to have faith. I need to develop faith in something. Now, in the 10th house, there's an element of needing to develop faith in developing a place in the world for yourself that works for you. If you have karma of being a wanderer because you aren't sure how to pick what to believe in, right? Then you need to pick what seems the most true. And in your email, you already found something that works for you, which is yoga. And I didn't get a lot of details from you about, what exactly how you experience that, but that you have found something like that is great. So I don't know all the details, but definitely encourage you to stick with that. But one of these things, the Gemini South Node, especially with Jupiter square the nodes, is that we might not want to pick something because it might end up being the wrong thing, right? Because if a Gemini South Node handicap is relativism, the Sagittarius Jupiter handicap is being myopic, being closed-minded, and being so focused on an ideal or a belief that we can't experience the world around us. So one of the things that you need to learn is that whatever it is that you pick as a belief, which I'm going to call here a guiding principle that connects you to spirit because it's in Pisces and connects you, and it can be, work through your body, this energy run through your body, Pisces first house. If it doesn't work after a while, then you change it. Part of your natural prejudices against Sagittarius energy is going to be that those people are closed-minded. Those people can't, think straight because they're so focused on a belief and they can't listen to new data and they can't be changed by their experiences. But healthy Sagittarius will change its goal, its endpoint, this focus, this belief in what it's focused on. Healthy Sagittarius will change it. So here's my encapsulated nutshell advice for you. Develop more faith in yourself through your body with yoga, which is a series activity, CERES, right? Series activity, a nurturing attentiveness to body activity. Develop that, and if you need to change your goal, if you need to change what kind of yoga, or you need to do something else, allow that to happen. But you really need to focus on a goal and move towards it. Adding in that the North Node's in the 10th house, adding in that it needs to be a concrete goal. It needs to be a concrete goal that will support you in having a public face. And all good 10th house things happen slowly over time with a lot of intention and a lot of forethought, a lot of planning, a lot of realism. It's this. The house of Saturn, So get clear on what you're willing to have faith in, and then you can move into your North Node in a really healthy way, and lose all of your, in any way that you might have prejudices or opinions about what those people are like when it comes to Jupiter and Sagittarius. And you can look up Jupiter Sagittarius keywords and just be conscious of that, because that's what you're turning into. That's what your soul is saying. I need to round out my education on Earth in space-time by adding Jupiter to the mix. Oh, and this also has to do with the psychic thing. Because it's Jupiter and Pisces in the first house, you're running the energy of Pisces in your body like this. So you don't know what to do with it. you need to develop a concrete framework to interpret what it is that you're experiencing. So perhaps learning some concrete things about meditation and how to work with spirit guides or whomever. So you need to flow with the energy, but you also need to be conscious about how you do it. Now, what you're supposed to do with it, how you're supposed to deal with it, you know, what you're supposed to do, there's no answer. But how you're supposed to deal with it is, you're running the energy already in your body, so take care of your body. Learn the principles of energy management. You know, learn how to have really healthy and strong and loving energetic boundaries, and you'll be able to run this Jupiter in Pisces in the first energy in a better way. You won't feel like you need to wander, because wherever you are, you will be at home in the universe as a being, you know, which is part of the greater fabric of life. And the last thing I'll say is, just for your reference, while transiting Pluto right now is conjunct your moon in Capricorn in the 11th, your progressed moon is at the cusp of the second house and will go over your natal Chiron, which is a retrograde at 24 Aries in the second house. And so as these things are happening, Pluto's saying, what is it that you need? And in all the ways that you nurture and care for yourself, and all the ways that you attempt to make yourself happy, Pluto's going to say, is going to be the judge on which are healthy, which are not, which are authentic, which are not. So there can be some habits in how you care for yourself that must be demolished right now so that you can take better care of yourself. The other side of this progressed moon, your evolving priority right now is about to hit, you know, your evolving priority of health and happiness and, you know, staying healthy and nurturing yourself is going to hit this Chiron, which is going to trigger whatever woundedness you might carry about your own self-worth. So as I tell you to put all this focus on first house Jupiter, be aware that self-worth is a major issue for you with Chiron in the second. And so there's a lot of learning how to be compassionate towards yourself and not judging yourself for your skills, what you're interested in, you know, just kind of reinforcing this idea of getting, like, loving yourself more, getting better at loving yourself more. So, Robin, thank you for writing in with your question, and I hope that that analysis is helpful for you. For anybody else who's listening, if you want to send in a question, email it to karma@tdjacobs.com, and I'll be happy to give you a 10-minute answer. You know, in the spirit of helping you, but also educating other listeners about how to analyze charts in this way, in this karmic, multidimensional, humane, humanistic, spiritual way that's all focused on soul and helping your personality align better with what your soul came here to do. So my name is Tom Jacobs. I'm on the web at tdjacobs.com, and lots of great NATO reports, articles, and books there. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.